Guys, I'm gonna build a gaming PC.
Oh, you are?
What do you think that takes?
I think if you build it, you gotta call it a rig.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna build a big rig. I don't know anything about PCs.
What's your how big of the hard drive do you want?
That's the one thing I actually know about. I'm gonna get a terabyte.
No, get a solid state.
Yeah. No, you get a terabyte, and then you also get like a 160 solid state, right?
You
get
both. What do you need a terabyte what you need, for?
You don't need either.
Hardcore pornography.
All you really need is the cloud. You can just put it all in the cloud.
Is that true?
Yeah, you put the cloud in your computer.
Where do I put my GPU?
In the cloud.
In the cloud. You put everything
in the
cloud.
Is the fan in the cloud, or do I need an actual
fan?
It's
slightly below the cloud.
You can't actually put the fan in the cloud, or else it'll disperse it.
You would blow the cloud away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's below the cloud.
That seems really dangerous to keep clouds in your fans.
Do you know, but it's great because it comes with thunderbolts.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Justin McElroy.
Shit!
My name is Griffin McElroy. Did I say Justin?
Do you do that regularly?
No, that's honest. That's the first time I've ever done it in my life. And I know the best game of the week.
My name is Chris Plant, and I know my own name.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Everybody stop chomping. My flavor, please.
Chris Plant versus three Justin McElroy.
It's my
nightmare.
Your sexual fantasies come to life.
A writhing pile of Justin.
Undulating with passion. So this is The Besties, where the four best friends on Earth pit the new games of the week against each other in Mortal Kombat to find out which one reigns supreme. Once we have our victor, we will pit it against our current reigning champion to see if it is unseated and sent to our Hall of Fame, where we'll battle to be our game of the year at the end of the year. Russ Freshtick, what is our current sitting game of the year?
Our current sitting game of the year is Max Payne 3.
Now, Justin, you expressed interest in perhaps submitting an appeal to last week's episode. Do we even want to discuss?
I don't know if we can entertain an appeal. I had not played Gravity Rush.
I want to entertain this appeal.
We need a secondary body. What we need is a system of checks and balances so that if we do make a bad call, because let's face it, Gravity Rush probably should have unseated Max Payne.
Reviewed the tapes. You do it in a sports game. They look at the replay.
They say maybe
that call was bad.
I am going to make a motion that we retroactively unseat Max Payne 3, put it in the Hall of Fame, let it compete at the end of the year, but put Gravity Rush in there. Because I tell you, I've been playing it this week, the Gravity Rush on Vita, and it is the most fun I've had with a Vita. It's such a cool mechanic, a great aesthetic.
Really better than the two other games on Vita?
What are you talking about? There's like 20 awesome games on the Vita.
There are not that many awesome games.
No, there are a lot of great games on
Vita. There are a lot of great games on Vita, but this is the one that it is so unlike anything I've played before. And I've really, really been enjoying it. It's such a good reason to finally get the Vita out of storage and make sure it's charged up every hour on the hour.
And Justin, do you think I'm right that it's a game that you can't really play on anything but a mobile platform? Do you think like it would make you sick if you were playing that on a...
I don't know. It certainly does help to give yourself some extra... to feel like you have more control of perspective, because it's very sensitive to tilting, and it'll adjust your perspective accordingly. So in that regard, it's pretty darn good. But it makes really good use of the Vita's tech too. The touch screens aren't used abusively; they're used in a very sort of coherent way. And it really, honestly, it looks great. It feels great. I mean, it's the kind of thing you just want to play around with it because the mechanic is so cool.
Have you downloaded the soundtrack yet?
Oh God, are we gonna spend this whole episode talking about a game we already talked about?
I'm not that kind of guy.
I'm just saying.
Can we get a second for Justin's motion?
A second.
Okay. I guess Russ and I have to vote. I don't know. I don't know what's the...
We're in favor, so if one of you is in favor, then...
I'm fine with it. Max Payne 3 left me a little cold.
It left me super cold. Guess it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Motion carries. Our current reigning game of the year is Gravity Rush. All right,
you see that, guys? We take the rules and we say, screw them.
No, that was very orderly.
It was very orderly.
I thought it was very orderly.
That was Robert's Rules of Order, like, straight down the line.
To a T.
It was. I'm just glad that somebody can update the Wikipedia page and now let people know.
Our ongoing Wikipedia page that no one has made.
Rule set.
Okay, so who wants to pitch first?
Well, I think we need
can we address who the commissioner is this week?
Right.
I think... the big game I played this week is Steel Battalion, and as a result, I think I should be the commissioner.
Okay. But Justin, I heard such good things about that game. It's not good?
Did you? Because it is made of farts.
Let's do a Splinter Universe.
It a 10 out of 10.
Let's do an alternate reality right now, where you are actually pitching Steel Battalion to us to become the bestie because one of us played something even worse, which, according to your review score, might be impossible.
It is. Okay, so, like, has anybody here tried the demo or attempted to play this bitch?
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought it looked cool in the video. I'll be honest.
It does
the video
look cool.
Seduces me.
And there are moments where you're in the cabin of a mech. You're not really seeing through the eyes of your mech. I mean, you are a person inside this vertical tank. And as a result, you use Kinect to activate a lot of the features in this tank. You can turn your chair to look at other things inside the cabin. You can stand up
Do you turn your actual chair?
Yes. No. You have to swipe your arm
no
to turn your
allowed.
Chair. Why you don't just turn the thumbstick to do that, I have no idea. Because you also have to hold the controller as
what?
You play.
What?
Yeah. So... you hold the controller as you play. The sticks control movement and the perspective of the tank. Your hands control everything else. You have to let go of the controller to swipe change your perspective in the cabin. You also have to use it to operate most of the things in the cabin. So let me walk you through a few actual scenarios. The problem is Kinect is not good with small motions. Kinect doesn't know... pushing buttons. It's not good with that.
Especially also, when you're sitting down, right?
With sitting down. It thinks my knees are my hands a lot of the time. And that gets very awkward. You see the skeleton on the screen represented by what the Kinect's seeing, and you can see this wireframe of your torso, mm-hmm. and it can get a little silly up
now,
there.
Now, in Kinect's defense, you absorbed a twin in the womb, and your knees have fingers.
That's true. That's fair. But only my right knee, and this is doing both
well,
knees.
Well, that's inexcusable.
So it's inexcusable. So, like, you'll there's a lever you have to pull to start the tank, which is kind of crazy, because that should be a button, because it's pretty important to turn it on. And a lot of times you'll like, go to start the tank, and instead you'll pull out the panel that has a self-destruct button on.
Why does that panel exist?
Why? Well, in case, I don't know. I mean, it's really, the only thing I can think of is because it doesn't have a retry button. So, like, if you just want to blow up your tank, it's the only thing I can think. Maybe it comes into play later. Well, the panel also has the flashlight. It also has your, it also has the night vision / flashlight button, and it has the button to vent the cabin. So, like, there are instances where the cabin is so smoky you can barely see, and you pull out a panel where one thing is a lever to vent the smoke out, and the other thing is a button to explode your tank.
Oh, man.
And
that does not seem very safe.
That's already pretty crazy, but...
it's like a car with the eject button next to the windshield wiper.
Right. It's like an eject button, like in cars. So that's pretty whack. And there's things like that, and that always happens at the worst possible moment. You always, and there's like, you have to push a button to switch between ammo types. And it doesn't know, I mean, it's not good with that. Kinect's not good with that sort of thing. So you're just like pawing at the air trying to switch from armor piercing to anti-personnel rounds.
You know, this reminds me, did you guys play that game Out of This World?
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, remember that scene in Out of This World where you, like, enter the alien arena and they, like, throw you in an alien tank and you have no idea what the button's doing? You're just, like, mindlessly jamming everything? This is an entire game that's that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not that far off. That I have to tell you about my favorite sequence, though. My favorite sequence is at the beginning of the fifth mission. You, your tank is waiting for a surprise attack from the enemy. You don't know where it's coming from. Your tank is off. It's silent to get the jump on the enemy. The way the tanks work is the guy in the rear has to spool it up, has to wind the engine up, and then you pull the lever that activates it. So what he tells you is stand up, look for the bad guys, and when you see him, give me the signal and I'll turn on the tank. Okay, sounds good. Cool. So I stand up, and it's literally 3 minutes of standing and waiting with my binoculars to my head. Like, you raise your right hand or left hand, and you have binoculars. So I'm, like, standing and looking all around, waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, after 3 minutes, like, a puff of birds flies up, and I look over in that general direction, and I see the enemy tanks. And I'm like, there, I got them. Now to give the signal. And I don't know. I have no idea what the signal is. So I'm like banging on the top of the tank and like pointing at them like that. And then I shout, hey, those fucking guys are over there. Signal, signal, signal. Nothing. So they roll up on the tank. And of course, like, our tank's not on, so they destroy us, right? And it sends me back to the beginning of the waiting. 3 minutes again of waiting. I do this 4 times. Here's the signal. Ready? You sit down. After you spot them, you sit down, you swipe, so you're facing him. Then you reach out and tap him on the shoulder.
What?
That's the signal. Here's the even best part. You don't have to see them before you do it. At the beginning of the mission, you can just turn to him and say, hey, turn the tank on for me. Turn it on so we can go kill these guys. And he's like, all right, I guess you saw him. No problem. That's if the game worked perfectly. If the Kinect worked perfectly, there's so much wrong with it. There's somebody's taking a pee, and they find an apple, and they get pee on their hands, right? And someone tosses them an apple, and then they toss that apple to you, and you take a bite out of it
of their pee apple
of the pee apple. There's a horrifying Jim Crow-esque gentleman that sits to your right that. Literally every other word out of his mouth is "podna," like, and it says on the screen the caption is literally "podnah," podna. Okay, podna, we gonna get him. And there's a moment where he says where you are going out on a mission and they tell you like we're gonna have dinner and wait for you to get back, and he says, "Wait, man, what happened to equal rights? I'm equally hungry." Like, what are you doing?
No.
What are you talking about? This is the craziest. And that's if the game worked, and it doesn't. And it is the anyway, it's not. I mean, like, it would be a very, very bad game regardless. Some people are giving that game. I think if anybody gives that game any points, they are not your friend. They do not care about you. They don't love you like I do, because it is miserable.
So that is not our game of the week.
No.
Justin, can you decide who is going in what order so we can finally pick the wheat from the chaff that you've laid before us?
Yeah, let's separate. Let's find the wheat here. I'd like to hear from Russ Freshstick first.
Hello.
And then we'll go Griffin McElroy, Chris Plant. We'll go alphabetical this week.
Is that alphabetical?
I don't think that is at all.
Freshstick, McElroy, Plant.
Oh, last names. Got it. Okay, so I am bringing a game called Astronaut. It's worth noting that Astronaut is spelled Astro, traditional spelling, and then not N-O-T.
As in psych? Like,
as
psych.
In psych. Yes, but it's one word. It's an iOS game. Surprise. but we are in the thick of June, and quality retail releases are somewhat few and far between. So Astronaut is basically, like, imagine if the Atari 2600 had its own Metroid game. I don't think there was a game like Metroid on the Atari 2600. Was there? Anyone know?
No, closest you probably get is like
E.T.
Hero.
E.T. is probably as close as you got.
Yeah, E.T. was pretty great.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, that's, you know, go around, collect the things, get a little more advanced.
That's not what Metroid is.
Oh, yeah. Pitfall.
No.
Oh, guys, Barnstormer.
Oh, he's naming games now.
So, Astronaut is basically Metroid, but, like, really lo-fi. It's, like, imagine if the graphics were even more lo-fi than the NES. Very blocky. The audio is, like, bleeps and bloops. But despite the basic graphics, the gameplay of a Metroidvania is still intact. So you're still exploring this alien world, collecting, like, power-ups to make you jump higher, or weapon upgrades or energy increase things. And I don't know, I have a very strong taste for the genre. I can play just about any Metroidvania game and have a good time. And I like when people sort of, you know, take the genre and put their own little twist on it. And I think Astronaut does a very good job of that.
Is it just the aesthetic?
Yeah, just the aesthetic.
There's no, like, mechanical, like, oh, that's a clever idea.
No, not that I've seen. I've put, like, an hour into it, and it's mostly, like, traditional Metroid-y stuff. But, I don't know, it's like I'm...
How much twitchiness does it require? Because that's...
Right,
that's
so the
not
controls,
iOS's
I would
strong
say,
point.
Are on par with... Probably not as good as Super Crate Box, but close. And you don't need nearly as, like, twitchy, like, movements as you did in Super Crate Box. It's closer to, like, the original Metroid, which didn't require, like, intense jumping sequences.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I mean, it's fun. It's a universal app. And I think on iOS especially, there aren't very many really cool Metroidvania games. And I think there's a demand for it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. I'm a little bummed. So there's... I guess it's a throwback to the original Metroid, which didn't have a map, but there's no map, unless
Yikes.
I haven't found it yet.
Do you have graph paper?
Yeah, I think they're asking for you to craft your own map using diligence, which I guess is part of the experience and, like, the retro-ness of it, but I kind of like maps.
Yeah, nothing Can says I... mobile game like carrying around stack
I graph paper. Yeah.
I don't know how to have this conversation. I got an iPad last week, and it's really I would get interested in, like, some games on my iPhone, and I would get, like, deep into them, but I never got on, like, these sprees on my iPhone where it's like, I want to get some new games for this. And the iPad, I feel like I can do that more because I think it is a better gaming platform than the yeah. iPhone is. But there are these weird. There's like how many games? Like 250,000 games. There's probably even more than that on the App
there
Store.
And
tons. Despite that, I feel like there's these weird gaps of, like, genres that there really just aren't that many entries in.
Right. No, it makes sense. A lot of those, there's a few reasons for that, I think. One is, like, a Metroidvania, if we're going to talk about a specific genre, is not an easy game to make. There's a lot of work that goes involved in, like, making sure the map makes sense and making sure you can't, like, access the end at the very beginning, stuff like that. And, like, for the amount of work, you know, wouldn't it be easier to just make an arcade game?
But don't these people, don't, there's so much cruft on there. Doesn't it make sense to say, if we put out a higher quality product than what everybody else is putting out, that we're gonna rise above them? Like, I understand
what
gamble,
though, right? I mean, like, you can make the gamble that, hey, maybe people like this arcade game that I can make in a shorter amount of time, or maybe I sink a bunch of time into this game that doesn't catch on. I mean,
right, but I'm saying everybody
seems to be so random.
Everybody's right. Everybody's doing that first thing. If somebody was doing the second thing, don't you think they would stand out? Like,
well, I think.
Yeah. I'm not saying that there aren't high-quality games on the iPad. I'm saying, like, I was trying to find a good, like, role-playing game or a turn-based strategy game. And there are a couple.
Hunters 2.
Hunters 2, sure. Yeah. I mean, there's there's a handful on there, but when you think of 10 good role-playing games or turn-based strategy games out of, you know, a quarter of a million games, you would think that, I don't know, I don't want to paint the whole iOS platform in the same light that the hardcore gamers do. We're saying it's not, you know, a platform for serious games, but it just seems like so many people are okay for shooting for the bare minimum.
I think there are two problems, though, that, I mean, to play devil's advocate. I mean, one, genres that require control, like any type of shooters, you know, from side-scroller to first-person, they're just difficult to control. So there's that problem right off the bat.
Okay.
But then games like, you mentioned turn-based strategy games or real-time strategy games.
Those are made for that platform,
don't you
think?
They are made for that. They are made for that, but the people who love those games are used to playing current-gen strategy games. And I think the AI on those games, plus the graphics that are available right now, is at a certain level. And I honestly don't know if the iPad can produce something comparable.
No. Right, that's now. Not why those games.
I don't think that's true.
You just don't think they're investing in
it? No, I don't. Are you kidding me? People that like turn-based strategy games would play with hexes and colors.
Well, they
like,
do. I mean, what
they are
it?
Not demanding Demon folks.
Hex or whatever? Yeah.
It's I honestly believe it comes down to like how many developers want to put in the time to make a really well-crafted turn-based strategy game versus whether they think that's going to be a success on the App Store.
Yeah.
I had a Jones right. for like a tactics game. And
there's
as
a lot
far
of
as,
tactics games.
There's not
there are
though.
A lot.
There's not a lot
they
of
just
like
released
high...
a new one last week, I thought.
I don't even know what you're
Fantasy?
Talking about.
Like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Like
Final
Fantasy
Tactics.
No, I know. Plant, what games are you talking about? Name one.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Okay, no, yeah, that's $16.99 on the platform. Sure. It's like $5.99 on the PlayStation Network. What are you doing with your pricing, Square Enix? Get your shit together.
Plant, can
Final
you name
Fantasy
a single tactics game that's not
I
tactics?
I don't play these games, but I feel like I've seen them multiple times.
There's a few.
Your it's like opinions are just based on guessing.
What?
How many of your opinions are based on guessing?
1 second. No, it's stuff I've seen.
There's a few. I have played a few of them, and they're not
tactical
bad.
Tactical Soldier Undead Rising. I mean, that's not technically the tactics you're talking
okay.
about, though.
No. I don't want to totally derail the conversation. I'm just saying.
No, that's
I
fine.
Wish,
I, but I
wish
get,
people
I
would make...
Point.
I wish it wasn't just, like, chair and, you know, a nimble bit. And, okay. Like, there are people making good games, but I have needs that need filled. And I think the RPG genre is, like, perfect for that platform. It's, like, the least twitchy you can get.
Yeah.
And people just aren't making them.
Another problem is the retro aesthetic. Hey, indies, we aren't fooled. We know that you probably like old games, but I also know that it's wicked easy to make those graphics. Like, just make, like, real graphics. I know it's harder, but, like, stop trying to trick us. It's not nostalgia. It's, like, 7 blocks. You're like, well, I guess I'm done with graphics.
I kind of preferred that an astronaut went even more in that direction. Like, they could have done, like, NES graphics, but they're like, no, we're going to keep going with it. I kind of preferred that.
Let me try and make the transition to my game, because it almost works. My game is sort of a tactics game. It's Pokemon Conquest for the Nintendo DS, the Ridge.
Whoa.
Not the, yeah,
Whoa.
I know.
Is that out?
Yeah, it's out.
Okay.
It is... the Pokemon spinoff is, I guess, it's almost its own genre, and it's they have varying degrees of quality. Like, there's the Pokemon dungeon.
Do you have a
they're
chart somewhere?
All
I do.
Bad.
They're almost all. They're not great. I think Pokemon Pinball for the Game Boy Color was the only one that really captured.
Oh, that one was
level.
Good, and also Pokemon Snap.
Yes, yes. But typically they try to go. I think there was the one I played the one on 3DS where it was like toys. It was like wind up toys. Oh, that one was the worst.
Oh my god, that was terrible.
Yeah. So they're usually not very good. But Pokemon Conquest is a hybrid of Pokemon and the strategy series Nobunaga's Ambition, which I have never played any of those before, and the result is a basically a tactical RPG where you have to raise an army of warriors, and each warrior has Pokemon that they have linked to them, and you have to form links with new Pokemon and hire new warriors by battling them and beating them under certain conditions, and then conquering all the kingdoms. And it's got something like 200 Pokemon of the 600-odd Pokemon that are in all of the Pokemon games.
A lot of Pokemon.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, and there's, I don't know how many warriors, but it's it's kind of a departure from how Pokemon works, the franchise, not just battles, but it's kind of confusing. Its biggest problem is that there's not much micromanagement that you can do, which is weird for a tactics game like Disgaea, where is probably like the most micromanagement you can do. Each Pokemon has like one move, and that's all that they can really do on the battlefield. And they have like a passive ability, and each warrior has an active ability that they can do regardless of which Pokemon they have linked to them. But managing those Pokemon and the warriors is a total nightmare because they're dispersed throughout all the kingdoms that you own. So basically, if you want to hire one of them, you have to find which kingdom he's at, march him to the kingdom next to the kingdom you want to attack, and then it's that part of the game is a total nightmare, and I'm not going to deny that. But the combat is fantastic, and I think if they had gone a little bit further with it and maybe made the management less of a nightmare, it would have been better. So there's still the same systems of like super effective attacks and weaknesses and, you know, evolution, all that you have to keep in mind, but all the battles take place in a grid-based battlefield where it's usually a 6-on-6 fight, where your Pokemon have, you know, attacks with different elemental types that have different ranges. Each Pokemon has different movement ranges, and you have to, you know, get position on the battlefield and take out all your enemies. And if you take them out, like, I think it's something like if you take out a warrior under 4 turns, or you take him out by recognizing his weakness and then exploiting it, you can recruit him to your team, which is a neat system, and it's addictive. And the only problem is you can see how it could have been deeper. Like, I don't understand why each Pokemon could only have one move, because that makes the battles a little less exciting. You sort of know how things are going to go as soon as you see what the other team's bringing. But yeah, it's neat, and it's exciting because it's the first real innovation to the Pokemon franchise that I have really gotten excited about. Like, I think the core Pokemon games, the battles in them have needed shaking up outside the addition of, you know, like 2-on-2 and 3-on-3 fights. And I think if they explored this, I think the turn-based strategy method would work really, really well for the core franchise. Because it's just a huge, you know, 6-on-6 melee, everyone fighting at the same time. It's pretty cool.
I have a question.
Yeah, shoot.
Is Meowth in the game?
I haven't seen him.
Okay.
You would hear him first.
What about Magikarp?
Magikarp is in the game.
What about Haunter?
I haven't seen him.
Mr. Mime?
Executor?
No to both.
It sounds like grown-ups are the ones doing the battling in the game, where it's traditionally been kids.
The grown-ups aren't actually, they're not like on the battlefield. That's what I'm saying. That's what's so confusing. Instead of controlling just one dude with, like in the core Pokemon games, you have 6 Pokemon with you at all times, and you can switch them out on your PC, which is where the Pokemon live when they're not in battle. All right. of the Pokemon are dispersed throughout all of the warriors who are spread out through all of the kingdoms that you own. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to build a team of, like, all water-type Pokemon, first of all, they're probably not going to be very strong because you haven't been using them. But you have to go find which kingdoms your water Pokemon are at and which warriors have them, and then march them each individually to where you want them.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know, Ditto.
That it's pretty awful. Fun. Like, items that people get and armor that they get, they buy them in stores, and then it's bound to that warrior. So to, like, unequip an item from that person so you can use it on somebody else, you have to find where they are, go into the menu, unequip them, and then find where your other guy is. It's a total disaster. But the combat is really neat, and building your army, you have, like, a strength rating at all times that is, you know, clearly indicates where you're at compared with the armies you're about to fight, which is cool. It's got a lot of good ideas, but a lot of pretty bad execution.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Krabby in the game?
Haven't seen Krabby yet.
What about Drowsy?
Nope.
Lapras?
Lapras died.
What? Come on!
I don't know.
In the opening cutscene, he died?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Pinsir?
Oh, my God.
Okay, I got one more.
Yeah.
No, two more. Okay. Snorlax?
Okay, no.
Mr. Mime?
You already asked Mr. Mime.
Tangela.
Do you have, a wiki open right now, or is this all straight off the dome?
Frank Langella.
Frank Langella is in the game. He's one of the Warriors.
Frank Langella.
Langella.
Guys.
Langella. So,
do you
yeah,
think
that's,
that,
that's...
like, maybe this means Romance of the Three Kingdoms will come back and get partnered with some type of game?
Boy, I hope so.
Well,
boy, I do. What would be dope is an actual, like, the next Pokemon generation had, it was, you know, straight up Pokemon through and through, all the system of managing and catching and all that stuff. But instead of the, you know, turn-based battle, do, like, a tactics game. I think that it would be perfect for it. I think that would be completely amazing.
That'd be amazing. But two, can you imagine a historical Pokemon game, like, where they discovered that they could battle Pokemon?
You like the discovery? That would actually be neat. Yeah, sure.
That'd be, like, really cool.
Like, here are these adorable animals. How do we enslave them and make us fight for them?
No.
Like, yeah, they wouldn't even see it coming. Like, they'd find two animals, and then they'd just be sitting around the campfire, and then, like, look at, holy shit, they're beating the crap out of each other. Yeah. Look at those two guys go.
And afterwards, and they want to get these balls.
Where's the Pokemon gambling game? I think that would be cool. I want to go to the track and gamble on which Pokemon is going to win. Because you know there's
Pokemon
at least
stadium?
Some OTBs that are got some action on Pokemon battles.
Oof. Guys, I think I should talk about my game.
Please.
No.
Well, what?
Let's take a little breather, though.
Let's take a little break.
Before you take a break, I want to apologize.
For what?
I might have been very wrong about what I said about tactic games. I did some Googling, and it turns out almost every game I thought was on iOS is actually available on the PSP.
Mm,
but
that's what you're thinking.
You
better,
to make you feel better, Total War Battles Shogun is on iOS.
Oh, no, that's not a tactics game like you think.
No,
it's
I know, but I mean, it's
game.
A strategy game.
I'll tell you who's... Atlus is, like, the market leader in this. Oh. I am begging you. I am begging you, Atlus, to put some of these games on the iOS. Please? I don't know what I have to do. Or Square Enix, if you could just, like... I don't know, put Tactics Ogre up on there. It's perfect for it. Anyway.
They'll charge $300.
And why... Like, why... Wizards of the Coast. Make a D&D game. And put it on the iPad. You did it with Magic, and it's super good. Idiot.
Whoa. Got heated in here.
I just get
man,
so
imagine
angry.
Imagine a D&D game that worked with asynchronous play, and then the dungeon master could leave voice messages.
Right?
I would buy that. I would spend however much you want.
It's not hard to do that. I promise you, it's not hard to do that. F-ing Jason Rohrer did it with Sleep is Death. You can have like a game that you can control entirely and customize to your will. And you could do it on iPad and make it a tactical RPG. What are you doing? Get it together, Wizards of the Coast.
Come on.
Just do this thing I'm telling you. I swear to God. Billions. Bajillions. Whoa. $1 million isn't cool. Actually, you're not even getting $1 million. You know what's better than $0? Any dollars. Gary Gygax is spinning wildly in his grave right now. He's like, get that money, son. What is it? iPad? I dreamed of this. Get that. Idiots. Dummies.
I'm about to fail.
We made 4th edition. Yeah. It's pretty much like a video game, but we're not going to make a video game out of it because we hate fucking money. We like books now. Idiots. Fuck. Fuck.
What about that game you like from E3?
Neverwinter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
That's D&D. That's a game.
No, I mean it is, and it's cool. It's got the... It's got, like, the creation stuff, but it's not, like, you're not rolling die. It's not grid-based, you know?
So they don't sell the D&D books on iPad, do they?
No.
No.
That just blows my brain open.
That right? They have this whole digital D&D insider program that lets you create character sheets and looks up all that shit for you. Not on iPad, though. Oh, yeah, just get out your fucking Tandy 400 and look that up. Not that thing that you have that has all the dice-rolling apps on it anyway. Just, oh, you guys...
I think they're on BlackBerry, actually.
What happened? I swear to God, we were relevant yesterday.
Here's my thing. What happened? If people are already distributing PDFs of your book, just throw up that PDF and sell it. Because at that point, you know, just have something that can compete with the people who are going to steal it from you.
They don't want to marginalize their pen and paper product, and I get that. But if there's only 100 people doing that, like, there's not that much left to marginalize, dog.
And honestly, like, you put it up there for $10, so many people would buy it.
It's why are they still so old? Like, fantasy is old news. Why not get sci-fi? Let me hit you guys with this: Space Dungeons and Space Dragons.
Like it's a joke.
I don't think it's a joke. Just sell it. Put a stamp on trademark. I bet I could get the trademark on Space Dungeons and Space Dragons right now.
Photoshop goggles on top of everything in the book. No.
You're thinking of my steampunk multiverse Gears and Dragons. That's a different thing.
No, just a lot of neon, you'd be set.
Gygax sounds like a space dragon's name.
Yeah.
I'm just making that observation.
That his name was basically the scariest dragon name that you could come up with. Mm-hmm.
I think that's why all the dragons
sound like that.
Gygax sounds like a dragon that swallows Gygax. The earth every 5 cycles. We are nearing the time of the swallowing.
That's Russ and I are playing D&D. We have a game this weekend, and we are facing a dragon that burns a town every, I don't know how often, Russ, like 50
Seems
years?
Like that's all dragons do, is that they sleep for a while, and then they come out and mess it up. Then they go to sleep again.
But I think we might be facing him.
It's narratively valuable, but it's kind of a hollow existence, big picture.
Well, they get to sleep a lot.
Gygax sounds like a nickname for semen.
Come on.
Gygax?
Come on.
We're having a really intelligent conversation about our D&D game.
Okay, can we not? Plant, tell me about your dumb game.
My game's great.
So I brought an iOS game that's actually good, unlike Russ, which he brought an okay game, but mine's pretty great. It's called The Act, and I don't want to, like, I feel bad for everybody else because I already have 2 votes. I have my own vote, and then I have Justin's vote because I am bringing a full motion video animated game, basically the first great one since, like, I don't know, like the 1990s.
It can't be full motion video and animated.
I bought it.
it's Dragon's Lair. I mean, it looks like Dragon's Lair. It looks like a Don Bluth game, and the animation is gorgeous. Games Radar says it is the number one most beautifully animated 2D game ever.
That's ridiculous.
But I don't know if I would go that far, but I will say it is beautiful.
I don't actually enjoy I don't enjoy animated FMV games as much as I do actual FMV games, but they do have a special place in my heart.
I understand that, and I have bad memories of Dragon's Lair because I think I played it on, I don't know, like my Sega.
On the NES?
On a CD, I think. And I don't think I ever made it past the, when you're going over the moat and the tentacles grab you.
I literally have never made it past that part.
Yeah, I don't know what happens here. What's great about this game, though, is it's set in, I think it's like New York around, I'm going to guess, probably like the 20s. And it feels like a silent film. It's all based off of music. There's no talking. And you play... Did you see the artist?
Yeah.
You play a guy who's like the lead in the artist. He's, you know, this suave, kind of goofball-y guy who... In this case, he's like an everyman. He's a window washer, and he falls in love with a nurse who he has fantasies about. And he gets in all sorts of hijinks pursuing this woman. Basically, you know, like dressing up as a doctor, and then he gets wrapped up in brain surgery, and, you know, it's typical goofball silent film story.
Wait, he has to perform brain surgery?
I don't want to get into the whole story because the story is really cute and I don't want to spoil any of it.
Okay.
That's why you're playing this game. I mean, the game itself is fun, but it's more of experiencing the story. But the way they get around the really annoying stuff from Dragon's Lair is great. Because you only have 2 options. You swipe right if you want to make a really bold move, or in some cases if you just want to react to what's on the right side of the screen. And then you swipe left if you want to be a bit more passive, or if you want to react to what's on the left side of the screen. And there are variations on that throughout the game. And how hard you swipe affects how big of a reaction you're doing. So... Say, like, one of my favorite moments that I've played so far is you are dressed up as a doctor, and you're trying to fit in with these two doctors who are, you know, looking up to, like, the one doctor who's obviously their boss, and they're laughing at, you know, at every joke he says, or looking, like, really concerned about whenever he's telling a story that, you know, is about someone dying, I assume. So if you swipe right, you laugh, and if you swipe left, you look concerned. But there are, like, five variations of how hard you're laughing, or, like, how concerned you are. So you're always trying to really balance, like, to look like you're fitting into this conversation. Like, if you're not laughing hard enough, he'll kind of, like, look at you the wrong way and kind of push you to the back of the group. Or if you, like, slap him on the back because you're laughing too hard, he'll be, like, embarrassed for you. Or if you're laughing while he's telling a really dark story, they'll, like, all abandon you and leave you behind. So it's this weird thing where much of the game is just trying to basically look like you belong in these really awkward and funny scenarios. If that makes sense. Does everybody follow that?
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
It sounds adorable.
It's super adorable, and it's super cute, and the animation is, I mean, precious. And what is so great about it, too, is it could get really annoying, and it still does every once in a while, trying to figure out that sweet spot with, you know, how far am I going, how much pressure am I putting on, you know, the reaction that I'm trying to create. Like, right. At the beginning, one of the most difficult and sensitive mini games of this is when you're having a fantasy about being with this nurse and you're kind of hitting on her, and it takes a while to get used to, like, do I want to, like, just give her a look? Do I want to, you know, kind of dance towards her? Do I want to thrust my hips? And you have to learn to kind of...
Well, don't do that. I can go ahead and tell you not to do that.
You don't do that. But you want to let these animations play out, which you're not used to in a game, like kind of doing a command and then waiting for the other character to react and giving it some time and then making a move after that. But once you kind of get into that frame of mind where you're not just jamming the touch screen the whole time, you really get into it. I mean, it's just really special. I fell in love with the game pretty much instantly once I got the hang of it.
Do you have to make love?
No, you don't have to make love.
There's not like a lovemaking finger
swiping.
There's
no aggressive lovemaking. It's all...
Is this a universal app?
Yeah, it's iPhone, iPad. And I believe it's universal.
What would you recommend I play it on?
I would strongly recommend you play it on iPad.
Okay.
Because it looks so pretty.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Griffin, is Wigglytuff in your game?
All right. Guys, let me hear. Go in order. Start with Russ again. Let me hear some final arguments. Why should I pick your game?
If you like Metroidvanias, there aren't very many of them on iOS, and this one's fun.
You could do worse.
That's all I got. I'm sorry.
All right.
Mine represents the bold reinvention of a franchise that has been long stagnant since the late 90s. And I think that we should encourage its evolution, much like Jigglypuff evolves into Wigglytuff with a moonstone.
That's true.
That's how you evolve that particular Pokemon.
Yep.
Chris, play it.
Mine doesn't just resuscitate a single game that has had 100 chances and tons of money to do so. It brings back an entire genre. And it's $2.99 on the App Store Universal App, so you can play it on two different devices.
I like that you pronounce a hard G when you say the word genre.
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 Okay, guys, I have to say that judging if only by your passion, but also by my own demonic proclivities, I am going to award our best game to The Act, an iOS title.
I'm fist pumping it right now. I knew it.
How long has it been since an iOS game won?
It's been a little while. Here's the question, though: is it a better game than Gravity Rush?
No.
You've played them both. It doesn't sound like it to me, but
here's a weird thing. If I'm reviewing this alone, I think I would give it the better review. But it is short. Once you've played it, you've experienced it. It doesn't take as much risk as Gravity Rush. I don't technically think it passes Gravity Rush. It pains me to say it because I love this game.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, our winner and still champion, The Act.
Well,
no, just kidding. Oh, God.
I'm Justin McElroy.
Classic J-Man. Classic. That's it. That's our program.
Did it.
Thank you for joining us once again. Hey, if you're into pocket planes...
I am.
Guys, I have been getting a nonstop money flow from our flight crew. I don't know what happened to the people in our flight crew, if we just have a ton of them, or if they're insane people, but in each challenge... we like come in third place, and I get $50 every single time.
It's, guys, get up in there. It's get
just hashtag Polygon. Get up in.
Hashtag Polygon. Join our flight crew.
Just wheeze the juice.
Just wheeze it, guys. Mason, your face told me to pimp it because we're falling in the rankings, and we're gonna climb back up. We're gonna battle back to the top. So. Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit our video game website, which is currently housed at theverge.com/gaming. Someday it'll be at polygon.com, but I gotta finish coding it with all the HTML and URLs you crave.
If you want to become one of our valued tipsters, send us tips at tips@polygon.com, because I read those, and they help us, you know, expand our news offerings. Just a little PSA from me.
Oh, and one more thing I forgot.
Yeah.
Griffin, is Dugong in your game?
I fucking hate you so much!
And be sure to join us next week for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends
fuck
the world's best games?